And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 385. It's going to be Frost Comics' fourth appearance. He's the second guest to have that, actually. First one was Rogue Hero. Definitely go back and check out the other episodes he was on. The first appearance, second appearance, third appearance. That way you can get caught up on origin story and where we're at now, actually. So, you know, pretty sure you've been getting some, you know, interesting DMs. Based off your recent huge live stream that blew up, the Iron Age versus Comics Gate debate. Now, I want to make sure I clarify just a few things here. Because there was a person there that said I would have did a better job. I do say thank you for that. That really does mean a lot. I tell people I get very nervous around big groups of people generally. It's something that's always happened to me. Even when I was in tennis matches with a crowd, I would just get so nervous. But, you know, I've gotten a little better with it over the years. And I'll just say to you, man, it was awesome that you even hosted that.
Thank you.
And it actually opened my brain to more things about why people are just so mentally gone. Because I was thinking about some of that stuff today at work and yesterday. Today and yesterday at work.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn. Mm-hmm. Half these arguments just sound like complete dog shit. Like, I'm just trying to understand. In my life, I thoroughly try to understand where someone's coming from so I don't, like, misrepresent them. Or maybe I'm thinking they're a little insane. But half the arguments I was hearing from some people were just completely insane. And I would just say this. For anyone who was in that stream, just look at yourself in the mirror and go, did this actually make sense? You know? I think it's your boy Zach. I'm pretty sure that's his channel. People will watch him. I've never seen a video of his. I think I watched
some of his stuff like in 2014, 2015. Yeah. It was a long time ago. But I know
wasn't he the guy? I think maybe it was him or someone else where they said this crazy obsession with Eric July is just weird. And then I'm pretty sure he was the one who said it. I'm pretty sure a lot of us have said it too. And you tell people that don't like him that they're like, they just look at you like you're retarded. And I'm just like, there is no possible world where I would obsess over someone that hard. If I that they're whatever that you know the things that Brett were saying about him, the thing that people in certain spaces have been saying about him. If he's that bad, why are you giving him that much attention? Because if people see someone that obsessed with someone, they're gonna go to the other person and see that they're not that guy. Because like that was the implication that I got from like Geese and Gamers and Nerdrotic. They were like, "Oh, this and this." The way people would talk about them. Then I watched their stuff and I'd be like, they're not this way at all. Like, what are you seeing? You know, that's just my problem. I have no issue with someone not liking Eric or who he hangs out with. That don't mean anything.
Yeah.
But the obsession that people have with them is weird. And the fact that even pointing it out, people are like, what do you mean? I'm not obsessed. Yes, you are. You tweet about them every day, every hour, constantly, 365 days a year. Yes, you are obsessed. If you don't believe so, you're the first stage of getting help is admitting you have a problem. Okay. That's the first step. Okay. Denying you are obsessed, you're crazy. If anyone thinks they're not obsessed, the fact that the way they make 8-hour streams about this guy, people think it's just EVS. No, it's not just EVS. There's plenty of people that do it. He's just probably the big example of it.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of guys do it.
Like Tony does it, right? The geek getaway.
Yeah.
It's so weird to be in the position I'm in where, like I'm literally completely neutral, and I made a video where I was talking about the gravesite visit, and I thought that was like fucked up, and I thought that it in the video I said that it is, and I picked my words very carefully. I said it is veering towards life ruination. Like, it's not there yet, but like when you start doing stuff to people in real life, like that's where things get really weird. Like where you'll start seeing people who will go to people's hometowns and they'll put stuff up on billboards and stuff like that. And like, that's beyond internet shit. Right. So that's where it was starting to veer towards that direction. And Geek Getaway shut up in my comments and he like posted like frog emojis at me. Like, I don't know. Like I talked to him and I was like, you know, hey, thanks for checking out the video. But like, I don't know. Like, I guess it was supposed to upset me because like I was supposed to be upset by like frogs. Like, I don't like Ethan or something. I don't give a shit about any of these people feuding. I don't care about them feuding. I care about it like within the sense of like it's being newsworthy. Like I'm talking about I don't do very many comic reviews. I'm trying to change that. The problem is that you've probably noticed this. Most people have. When you review independent comics, they don't get a lot of views because most people don't know about the independent comics. And it's kind of like this weird catch 22. Do you talk about the comics and try and build up comics so that it creates more interest so that your videos get more views? Or do you forego talking about the comics because you're not going to get more views? Which one starts? What's like a chicken egg thing? Which one builds up the other and how does it work out? But Alpha Corps, because it's part of everything that's connected to Eric July, it's newsworthy and it's worth talking about within a news and like audience generating respect, because like it's like Marvel or something. Not that large, but I mean, within the indie sphere, within like our little circle, it's extremely relevant and newsworthy. So that's why Alpha Corps made an exception. Yaira, I'll make an exception. And when I saw three drops, I'll make an exception for that. Where I've been planning to review Screecher, and nothing against Nick. I life has been nuts. You know a little bit about it and how crazy my life has been. It's been hard to find time to do anything. I had to like set up days in advance, set up the debate and like go over it and schedule it with my wife and like, okay, we're going to do it. I've got it at the right time. I've got everything set up. We should be good, you know? So it was, it's crazy to do. So it's hard to figure out how to do all that. But like the problem is that I've had because again, I am truly neutral. So I have, if I do a video where I'm like, hey, don't go mess with people's ancestors' graves. That's fucked up. Then angry, like Dick Masterson people come yell at me. And then if I do a video where I like my Alpha Corps review, Tim was just venting his spleen at me in the Alpha Corps video. And he was like so mad that I compared Spider-Girl to it. And the point I was making wasn't like, this is the best comic ever. Everyone should emulate Spider-Girl. The point I was making was all these things in Spider-Girl are things that I liked. They did it in 26 pages. So I know that there was enough space within Alpha Corps that you could have talked about it. So I know it's not a space issue. That was my only point. But like he kept bringing up like, well, you want to know about their powers. You didn't know about Batman's powers. And I was like, I talked to Tim privately because I don't like having public arguments. I just want to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him privately about this and he was about as cordial as Tim can be. I mean, he called me stupid, you know, five or six times.
Oh, Tim, date Tim.
Yeah. So
masterpiece Tim takes.
Yeah. Tim. So Tim, he kept thinking that like, I want to know about their powers or how they got their powers. And it's really not it. Like the example that I gave after the debate or Sunday, whenever it was, the example I gave after the debate was that, you know, if he said, oh, do you want to know that if Brian Solari is a clone, would that make you happy? I said, well, not really. But if he's a clone, I don't want to know about like how his genes are spliced. I want to know, like, how does a clone decide I want to be a cop? How does he relate to other people? Does he feel a disconnect being a clone and not being born like other people? Does he see people differently? Like, that's the stuff I want to know. And so like when I say I want to get to know the characters better, I'm talking about that. And I'm not even saying that you have to do it this way, because I did praise Alpha Corps. I gave it on a scale of 5. I gave it a 3 or a 6 out of 10, however you want to break it down. Mm-hmm. And I praised specific things. I criticized specific things. I had a lot of praise for Wilkins because I thought Wilkins was the most developed character. And then when he dies, when he dies, you actually feel something about his death because you got to know the character the best. I would have liked to see him stay because I thought that the potential for him to be kind of like a Marty McFly character, where he's kind of like a fish out of water. And so he's kind of like learning what it's like to be a superhero and taking the audience along that journey with him. I thought there was potential there. But his death was still used well, you know, just because they didn't do that, that didn't make it bad. But these are all things that I can talk about the book in a complimentary or in a critical way. And Tim was hyper focused on like the negative aspect of it. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't make money on anything I do. I do it for free. You know, I'm doing it because I want people to read my comic when it comes out, hopefully in a couple months. And so I'm not like trying to, there are people I like. People that I know and I've known on Twitter for, you know, years in some cases, and I see them arguing every day with the same people on both sides. I'm just looking at it like, why? What is the point? Like, everyone's calling the other person retarded, everyone's calling the other person a cultist, everyone's calling the other person whatever. And it's like, what's the point? Like, I don't know. I genuinely don't get it. I like the debate format because you can talk it out. And when I think that the way that BA approached it was good. I think that Tim's strongest arguments, because this is the thing, Tim clearly does not think I did a good job moderating, but what he doesn't understand is that I have opinions, but I'm not expressing them because I'm moderating. I told him in his debate with Sam, I said, I'm only really here to keep you guys from just screaming at each other. As long as you're civil and you can have a back and forth dialogue, I'm not going to police anything about like time. I'm not going to, you know, if you want me to, I will. I did make that offer to him originally to Sam, and he didn't want that. He wanted it to be more conversational. And so I let it be conversational. I said, as long as you're not dropping gamer words to get my channel nuked, you can say whatever you want. And so that's from NBA, and they did the same thing. So like, you know, but I'm still listening to the debate and I still have opinions. And I thought the strongest arguments that Tim had were based around the numbers that he was into early. The problem right. with it is that he didn't like his numbers sounded convincing, but like he didn't show anything. And so it made his source into just right. trust me, bro, where he should have had like a screen that, share.
That's what I was going to say to you, yeah, which is he had next time when someone says they have proof of something, just ask them to share their screen. Cause that's cause you ask for it. I get it. Doing it on the fly is hard because that's how that would happen. But
if it was an option because advance, a couple yeah. times I said, hey, if you guys have this, mm-hmm. And want to share it, let me know and I'll present it.
If you yeah, that's what screen, I was going to say, which is if you ask them for it and they don't provide it, then I would just say.
Yeah, but he should have stuck with that because if yeah. he had showed his numbers and he had showed because he said he went through all the campaigns, show that. Like if you could have the campaigns, like if you went the trouble of like pulling them up, mm-hmm. show them. Because because you could hear him flipping the paper, like where he had written down notes. Well, if you've got that exhaustive notes, yeah. You know, surely you've got some type of camera or you could take a picture with your phone, or there's gotta be something that you can do where you can sit it in where I can present it. Cause like it was a total clusterfuck, like from the start, not them, from my end, like 8 minutes before showtime, my internet died and I was using my phone as a hotspot to stream the entire damn thing. And I'm like 8 minutes before, I'm like, oh my God, this cannot be happening, you know? And so, and it crashes. I get the stupid hotspot working. I get the thing up and running. We go live. We're like 16 minutes late, but we're live, you yeah. know, and it's, and somehow by the grace of God, we make it work. They get in there and I'm like, okay, well, hey, you know, so we got it going. But I really think he really should have stuck on that harder. He gets, he would also, he just like I said this in a comment to him, but I think he's so mad at me, he's not going to talk to me. That's fine. I don't have anything against him still. Like he's frustrating to talk to, but Tim, the problem with Tim, I think, is that
you're
fine.
It's just you're a little crazy. You got to dial the
yeah.
crazy
well,
down.
I mean, yeah. he's so convinced. Like he's so convicted that what he believes is true. That he genuinely believes that if you don't believe what he tells you, then you are stupid or evil, and there's no middle ground, which is really strange because I've literally never talked to anyone in my entire life that has that perspective. And that's what he said to Turner. He was like, I thought that I could talk to you, and once I showed you that you're lying or misinformed, you would understand that I'm right. And at no point did it enter his head that maybe there, like, cause there are some things that can be objectively true. Right. And if you stick to discussing things that are objectively true, that's great. Things that like quality of writing, either Eric July's or Turner's, right. things like that are more subjective, but like, if you enter a subjective conversation and you're unwilling to even say, I understand why someone, like you said, I can understand why someone would think this way, even if I don't. Like if you can't like meet someone halfway on that bridge, you're not going to really change anyone's mind. And even if you have a better argument, you're not going to look like the victor to most of the people who are listening, because they're just going to hear that you are so stubborn that you can't even have a conversation with somebody. I don't know. I don't know how often he debated. I know he had a YouTube channel that he closed in like 2015 or 2016. It's still up where it you can find videos of him doing like, I guess they're like comedy bits or sketches, and he has a couple streams. He looks kind of, I don't mean this as an insult, I really don't, but he looks kind of like Asian Nick Fuentes. but like without the expensive green screen backdrop of the Chicago skyline. But he wears a suit in a lot of them, and he's very energetic. I don't know why he stopped doing the stream, but a lot of people were like saying, "Hey, you should start your channel back up." Sam loves him, which is funny because he just despises Sam. But Sam loves him, and Sam would genuinely love to do it like a weekly show with him, but Tim just utterly hates him. So
my thing with various points brought up, and this is the one that really stuck out to me in my brain, which was when BA was talking about Eric, and then Tim asked him, if he's this many things, if he's this bad, why would you want that person attached to you or associated with your brand? I'll be honest with you, that was probably his best point, because that would make a lot of sense. Good. Yeah, because people don't understand. If a person's that bad of a person and you have a reputation, as they say Eric does, you would not want that attached to your brand. Because first of all, people are going to think various things. The first things first, they're going to think you sold out. That's going to be first and foremost, they're going to think you sold out. Then when people hear the thing that Turner brought up about, you know, reach, right? Then people are going to think, oh, so you don't like this person, but you're only in it for the reach. Then people are going to think you're a clout chaser. That's going to be the second thing. And the third thing is, they're like, why would you even want his help or influence if you think he's a bad person? Because, like, that's what always boils down to me. Is like, they think Eric is just, like, this terrible person. Why would you want his help then? I'm so glad Tim brought that up, because it makes so much sense. If you think he's that bad of a person, you think he's terrible for the scene, why do they keep bothering him, tweeting about him every day? Anytime they can mention him, they do. If he's that bad of a person, why do we keep going through this? It's like they don't want Vito. He never asked for Vito's reach. Do they ask for Dick Masterson's reach or Vito's reach? They don't do that. It's only just selected towards Eric. That's all I'm calling out. Is like, if you're going to call it this big person for whatever you feel like they're not doing and whatever scenario you made up in your mind, why doesn't that apply to other people? That's all I'm asking for. Have it apply universally. Have it apply all the same. That's all I'm asking for. But it always feels really strange one-sided.
How people form. And I mean this both ways. Mm-hmm. I've had a tweet exchange with EVS, I think, once. I've had a tweet exchange with Eric July, I think, three times. Both people were perfectly pleasant to me. I have no issue with them. But it's very strange to me, and I do mean this for people that hate Ethan and people that hate Eric. They form wildly strong opinions about them when they haven't ever, like, interacted with them. Like, I don't know them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have an opinion about Eric because I don't know Eric. In any capacity, if I was streaming with Eric, I wouldn't even know Eric. Like, I know people that I can barbecue with or that I watch a movie with, you know, people that are like friends.
Well, you talk like, to a black Eric, guy? Crazy.
I mean, you know, I apparently am honorarily black, so I can, you know. So, but if I was like hanging out with Eric, then I could tell you what I think of Eric. If I was hanging out with Ethan, I could tell you what I, you know, about Ethan. I have seen people talk about like business deals that have gone bad with Ethan. And I've seen a lot of people with screenshots that I've tried to make sense out of. And honest to God, it's so autistic that I don't know enough of the lore to be able to figure out what is connected to what. I know there's like shit with Iconic and Doug Ernst and all this other stuff. I cannot possibly try to. I've tried. I have tried, but I've had very little success with it. But like, still, I've never interacted with the man personally. I've never interacted with, like, I've interacted with you, right? Like, I could have an opinion about you from my interaction with you. Mm-hmm. My interactions with you have always been courteous and professional and fun. So like, my opinion about you is positive. And if so, someone came and talked to me, I would have positive things to say about you. But then I see people who fucking hate you on Twitter, and it's like, okay, well, you know, but like, you don't. Have they hung out with you? Have they talked to you like this? Mm-hmm. You know, it's really strange. It's really weird to see how people are like so. Yeah. Like,
I will agree with Brett on something, because like when it comes to Ethan and Comiskey, I think Ethan's been doing some really weird things lately with all those streams he's been doing. But I will give them some leeway on this, and I do agree, is that like they can't just use Ethan as like the only.
Yeah.
Percentage case for Comiskey. I do know people in Comiskey. They've been very nice to me. Like, there's been Graham. We've had plenty of great interactions. There's been plenty of people that I've had on from Comiskey on these shows. Yeah. Actually, some I've not good interactions with, but I think it's unfair to justify all of Comiskey from Ethan. I think that is very unfair, you know?
Yeah, it is very odd because because this is the thing. I don't really look at like CG or Iron Age or any of that when I'm deciding to back a book. There's two things that I look at. If I know the person, I do have to think that it's cool. Like, I've never backed something that I was like, this looks kind of like shit, but I really like him, so I've never done that. So I do have to think that it looks cool. But like, if I see people that I've like you, like if you had a book, I would probably back your book because I like you as a person. And because I like the people that I've gotten to know, like you, Telepathic Bunny, Luke Stone, Justin Sweet, a lot of people that you had on your show, they're all people that I have, I've had wonderful interactions with. Nicholas Mueller from Demon Hunter Raven, Tyler Carpenter from Girl with the Mega Fist. They have been like, they don't follow me. They're not friends of mine or anything, but I have gone to them with questions and they were polite and they were respectful to me as a nobody that answered my question just because they were just nice guys. So like when I see people that act like that, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to back their book. I'm going to help them out when I can because they're cool people. So if the book looks cool and I have a relationship with them and they're doing something to try to provide an alternative to the entertainment, like I've switched all of my spending from like, you know, mainstream stuff to indie stuff whenever I can. There's been a lot of stuff that I haven't bought because it's part of mainstream entertainment and I don't want to support, like Eric said, I don't want to give money to people who hate me. I've always 100% believed that. One of the things I did say to Eric was I said, and I mentioned this in the stream, and he didn't block me. Like if you are respectful to Eric, even if you're critical of him, if you're respectful to him, he will not block you. But I told him, I said, I don't think that you're a great writer, but if I could push a button to give you every single dollar that Disney would make for this year, I would do it because I know that you don't hate me for my beliefs. And I know that they do hate me for my beliefs. So even if I didn't buy anything that you made, I would still rather you make the money because to hell with Disney, you know, anyone who's doing an alternative, I'm going to try to support it. So that's the first reason I will back books. You know, people are trying to do an alternative and they're doing something cool. And especially if they're cool to me, then hell yeah, I'm going to try and back them and have their back. The other reason is just because it looks good. And it's kind of like, that's it. Like there have been people that I have backed that have been CG that I didn't even know they were CG until after the fact. There's been people that I backed that after I backed them, I saw them trying to cancel other people. And I was like, I'm never backing them again. But because their project looked good and they've actually talked me out of future sales because of their behavior. So like, I'm not looking for alliances. Like I agree with, again, this is where I'm the moderator. I wasn't inserting my opinion. I agree with Turner. Like if you can help, then helping people out is great. You know, I'm not going to say like it's mandatory or anything. Like I feel like Tim had the wrong spirit of like what he was saying in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anyone is obligated, but like, again, if you have a book, I may not have a big audience, but I will, I'll retweet it. I'll talk to people and I'll say, hey, MSK is trying to promote a book. You should have him on. He does streaming all the time. He'd be a great guest for your show and get eyes, you know, on your book in front of an audience. I've done that with as many people as I can, just because they've been nice to me. So I want to try and be nice to them in whatever way I can. And I would love to be able to help more, but like, kind of like Turner said, you know, when you're small, you can only help so much, but he is right. Like every backer does count. Like when I was campaigning for Out of Obscurity, every single backer counted.
Yeah. And those are things that I didn't disagree with him. It was just along the lines of, just because someone chooses, like a bear contract, just because they choose to help people out like that, doesn't mean that the other guy is dog shit and not useful or a bad guy because they don't. Because this is what I'll tell people. This is a lesson. You're older. You understand this. There's a lot of people in life that just don't help. That just don't help people. They're not bad people because they choose not to. I don't know where that comes from that side. I just find that so odd because this side doesn't do that. Or as much as they say they do, which is very verifiably false. People go through, because people say Eric specifically. So like we say his name. Go through Eric's channel. He does help all those people. The reason why they don't say that, because it cancels their narrative. People will willingly lie just like that if it means that they'll just push out a narrative. Eric's about multiple people. Just go through his channel. Just literally just look through it. The first posts are there. You know, I just don't understand why if someone doesn't do it as much as the other guy, that person's that makes that a guy a bad guy. Like, that's just so cringe.
Well, I talked about this a few months ago, and it kind of came up because of A Drink with Crazy, because he was talking about there was a video that he did that I made a video about as well. And it was kind of like a discussion between, I don't know, argument, discussion, whatever. But it was like this community discussion. I'll just stick with that. Between people who make comic books and yeah. books and YouTubers. And there, I know I'm not one of them because I have fingers in both pies. But I do know people who are predominantly comic book creators, and they have a lot of bitter feelings toward YouTubers, especially successful YouTubers. And the reason they do is because the successful YouTubers don't change anything. And I mean that with all due respect to them, like, but like, they don't change shit. They just bitch endlessly. Like when She-Hulk came out. Yeah, She-Hulk is bad. Yes, I know She-Hulk episode 1 is bad. I know She-Hulk episode 2 is bad. I know She-Hulk episode 3 is bad. Thank you for continuing to make a 15-minute video to bitch about She-Hulk every time that there's an episode. And like when those people, those comic creators with those bitter feelings, when they see that, they're like, you're complaining about the mainstream and you will not even bother to give me a shout out to help me try to fight the mainstream. And it caused a lot of hurt feelings. I understand that. But on the other hand, if you are a YouTuber who is making money with videos, if you do a video highlighting an independent project and it gets no views, it will kill your channel, and it will especially hurt you if you're a monetized channel and you will not make money. And if that's how you make money, then you are being asked by people, hey, I need you to take money out of your wallet so that you can help my project. That's right. Really hard to do. It's really hard to do.
And I makes think it's also really selfish too for someone to ask that. I think it's insanely selfish for a random person you don't know. I could understand doing it if that's like your friend. That would make sense. Or like your brother, sister, grandma, if they were ever doing that stuff, right? That would make sense. But you have this random person selfishly asking you, hey, sacrifice basically your income for my own personal benefit. I don't even know you, and I probably don't even really like you.
Yeah.
That's what? We have to subtly believe.
Why would you want to help them?
Right. We have to subtly gaslight ourselves into believing that you're the good person, even though you are selfishly asking someone to take potentially money out of their own pocket to pay their bills proper. Because you know, these guys like Eric says are living off the YouTube channels, property tax, bills, gas, food, water, electricity, car note. Those aren't cheap things, right? We're not stupid. I pay for my own bills myself. I know how it is. You know how it is.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, if someone goes out of the way to do that, that's fine. But if they choose not to, I think small conglomerates need to understand they're not a bad guy for doing that. They have to legitimately feed their family off doing this. Like, I'm sorry, I prioritize my family and having food in my refrigerator over your comic book.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Am I right? Fuck me, right? Fucking stupid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. That logic is just so bad. It's just so dumb.
It's weird because like that's what Tim should have focused on, in my opinion. Talking about like the communism thing or whatever.
Yeah,
like talk about that
was weird. Oh, but Tim,
that was really fucking strange. And it was weird. It was even weirder because somebody called out. We're not going to get to like the Hitler part of the debate, are we? And then we got to the Hitler part of the debate. I was like, God Almighty! I'm glad my camera's not working. I wasn't using my camera to try to save on.
You were just doing that facepalm.
Yeah.
That.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, Sam called it. He said I was either screaming into the void or laughing hysterically. There's no, it's either one. And that was the whole night. It was just like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my God. It was just nuts, man.
The other thing I wanted to bring up to smaller creators is this is what, and that one Indian guy, nice guy, that I guys talked to on your show. I don't think he's doing anything that wrong. He had asked me something, and I can just clarify it more here because we didn't have enough time because, you know, it was getting late.
Yeah, just kind of hanging loose. Yeah.
The thing here to understand when it comes to, like, smaller creators, because he asked me, where do I see that at? Guys, I've been alive a long time. I've been alive in a lot of communities, okay? I've seen this predominantly happen in many communities that I've been in where a smaller person feels like they're just owed a bigger person's channel. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to ask a bigger person for promotion. There's nothing wrong with that. But to deny that you're doing it because you like that person, maybe you do, maybe you don't, debatable. I'm not in someone's brain to pick apart what they really think or feel. Mm-hmm. But we, you, but to be better, to be better as a person, to understand how you truly think, you need to be honest with yourselves. You are going to them because they have a bigger audience. That's the reason why. To deny otherwise is ludicrous. Because why? And I said your show, and he didn't. We had a great conversation. It's like I talk to people in your audience. Why are you going to them? Brett even said Eric's reach. Okay.
Yeah.
You are there for his audience. That's it. Just be honest. That's all I'm saying. It's not a bad thing. I'm saying let's just be honest. That's all I'm asking for. If you're that, if you're there for that, I can respect it. Because at least you're being honest with me. But for people to go like, oh, I'm not really there for that. Yes, you are. Like, it's ridiculous that you're trying to tell me you're not. Just be honest. Like, those are the reason why I would classify someone as not someone I would want to be around with is when they lie about little things like that. Why would you lie about something that little? It's not that big a deal. Just say, this person has a bigger audience. I want to expose my project to their audience. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I don't get why that has to be such a secret thing. It's like, no, I'm not doing it for that.
Because, like, it's not, I don't know. I guess because there's so many feelings that get attached with it. But when I, again, you know, my only campaign experience so far has been out of obscurity. But when I was campaigning for that, I asked everybody, I asked Shane Davis. He still hasn't seen that message, but I asked everybody I could, because I would love for people to see this book and maybe back it.
Thing that I'll ask you right there. You know how Tim said other comics gate people don't promote each other. You just said you asked Shane. He didn't even see your message.
No, Shane is EVS did actually, but Shane did not. I don't know if it's because he gets. Sometimes I can't decide how I should approach someone, if I should do it publicly or if I should do DMs.
Yeah,
I have an editor that my editor is very, very good. This editor in question, I'm not going to name names. I love this editor. He's great. He does great work. But I hired him. And I tried to hire him. Him, and I sent him a like either a message or a tweet or something, and he was like, oh yeah, it sounds great. And I was like, I was trying to follow up with him, and he like he just didn't get back to me in my DM. So I found him like one minute ago he tweeted, and I replied and said, hey, can I get you to follow up on this? And so then he did. So some people, I don't know. Now, Shane Davis never even looked at it. EVS actually did look at the out of obscurity message. And I think he did give it a shout out, like a small one, not a big one.
Right.
Kind of like, you know, hey, you know, here's a retweet or something like that. You know, nothing huge. But he, you know, he did. Shane did not. You know, people like the smaller people have been more willing to help me out than larger people. I don't, this is the thing, like I was saying before, a minute ago, like the hurt feelings and the expectations. I don't actually expect anyone to help me. I will try, you know, like when I messaged Nicholas Mueller and Tyler Carpenter and Tonic Mole and all these people, and I asked them for advice on things, everything from, you know, who's your printer to what do you recommend for paper and, you know, just random stuff. They have no obligation to respond to me. Mm-hmm. And if they don't respond to me, I don't have hurt feelings about it. They are busy people. They, especially because they're internet personalities and because they're published writers and artists at this point. Right. So there are a lot of people who are constantly trying to talk to them or yell at them or whatever. So if they can't get back to me, or they just look at me and they think, I don't know who this guy is, I don't care. That's fine. If they do get back to me, great. That means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. And I try to always thank them as much as I can. But like, if they don't, I don't care, because I am small. Like, the big guys are big because they're big. Like, it would be weird to see. It would be weird to see Eric on my channel. Like, if I reached out to Eric July and I said, "Hey, do you want to come hang out on my channel and play Pokemon or something?" I don't know. It would be really strange. Like, why would he? I don't know why he would. But like, you know, if I ask him and he never even responds to it, am I gonna get mad? No, I'm not. Like, you know, it's nice when you get support, but if you don't, like, I'm gonna try whether I get support or not, you know, because I'm the one who's trying to make the book. So,
and I get it. Every backer counts, but I think losing your sense of proper manners and mannerisms about how you interact with people.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to keep that intact. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you're literally asking someone to fucking forgo how they support themselves for your personal leads.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. And they're like, but they only promote their friends. Oh my God. They promote people that they know. That's
yeah.
Yeah. When you start to logically think about these terrible arguments, you're like, this is stupid. No, yeah. Like,
they're people mad get mad at them over promoting like a lot their of stuff. Own
friends. You know, I'm like, I'm not yeah. even making this up. They get mad at them. They're like, they only promote this guy and that guy. Yeah. Oh, people that they know personally. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck? It's like that Asian guy's meme like this. It's like, yeah. What? That's yeah. so stupid. Yeah, of course exactly. you're going to promote someone you know versus a fucking random. And the other thing to bring up is these guys talk shit about these guys every day on the year. We know. Yeah. I've seen it. They can't deny it. They will, but they can't to me. I've seen all of them. And then they'll ask them, why don't you put me on your show? This is so stupid. Oh, my God. Yeah. My brain's frying talking about this stuff. Okay, so first of all, you don't like this person. Yeah. You want to go on their show to clout chase off their audience, and you think you're going to have a pleasant conversation with someone you claim you don't like. That is the most obstacle right now. That is unbearable. If I happen to have me on any show, I delete that shit. Because that's unbearable. The audience is not going to like that. I mean, the audience, my audience likes drama, but I wouldn't personally like that.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. If you don't like this person, why would you want to sit for an hour talking to them?
right. What? So you were saying earlier how when you're like in, you know, when you're in front of big audiences and stuff, I'm kind of similar. Like it's the audience doesn't bother me, but like it's my peers that I have a lot of respect for. A couple weeks back, I was on a stream with Telepathic Bunny, and I love Bunny. He's great. He doesn't make me nervous because I'm used to talking to him, right? So he's like a buddy at this point. But then he had Shadowpunk on there, and I backed Shadowpunk's comic before I started doing anything. And then he also had the guy who wrote the Six Gun Gorilla on there, which made like a stupid amount of money. And like, so I am on the stream with these people, and I'm like, I do not belong here. And these guys are so nice. We're talking like talking shop, you know, talking comics, and they're asking me about my comics and stuff, and like genuinely interested and being like super supportive and stuff. I'm just like, okay, this feels weird. Like it feels like I do not belong here. These are like established people who've done some really great books, and they're over here being like super cool to me and everything. It was like, it was a surreal experience because they were just so supportive and nice. I've had like, I'm lucky. I'm the overwhelming majority of my experiences in comics have been with people like that. People like Luke Stone, who has been an amazing like mentor, like from like a business standpoint, like, you know, when do you charge people? You know, what kind of contracts do you do? Stuff like that. Luke has been amazing. Seeing him succeed with Fund My Comic has been amazing. Like all these people have been like amazingly positive experiences for me in comics, and getting to talk to people like that, meeting people, you know, people like you, people like the Pop XP people. They were like, Nate was awesome. Arizona Power Girl was awesome. They're all really, they're great. I met, I know that he argues with a lot of Ripa fans, but I met Salty through Pop XP when he's promoting Silence Do Good. He's been an amazing friend. He was like, I was talking to him about comics, and he's like, I was showing him like my cover because he's an artist. And I was like, what do you think of this cover? He's like, that looks amazing. Why haven't you asked me to do an alternate cover for you? I was like, okay, I will ask you to do one. That's really cool that you even want to, because I would never even think about that. Right. I wouldn't think to like go and say, hey, do you who work professionally in animation, you know, before you started doing comics, do you want to draw an alternate cover for me? But he's like, hell yeah, I want to draw a cover for you. So that's been my experience. And I know a lot of people had really bad experiences, but mine have been overwhelmingly positive because of, I just blind luck. It feels like they've been great.
And then the other thing was brought up, there was promotion, there was the one examples and all the Indiegogo stuff. There was a guy, because it all started from basically this person that followed Eric, and he basically put out all those, I think you saw it that day, it was like last year, he put out all these images of all these campaigns that were super late. The two of them had been fulfilled, but they've been way down the line. Because one guy had a divorce. It does sound
familiar, yeah.
Yeah, one guy had a divorce. You know, that makes sense. Divorces are very messy and can take a bit of time. But all the guy was saying is that, hey, when I backed some of these came extremely late. And then one of Eric's fans asked him, hey, how do you guys get fulfillment done fast? like the whole like shitting on crowdfunding thing is just so like it came from nowhere. A fan was like, "Hey, there's an issue here," and then people went, "Well, you don't understand." And it's like, I thought you're not supposed to talk to fans that way. I thought customers are always right, you know. So apparently, no one can criticize any foundation of crowdfunding unless you're actually the one doing it, which can make sense, and it can't. But if we're talking about respecting the fans and customers, then if someone's like, "Hey, I'm just saying there's a problem here," and for someone to get that level of vitriol for just having a different opinion, that's ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't want to back any of those books anymore. That's how you think one of your customers are. You don't deserve any backers then by that logic. You know, all he was saying was like, "Hey, these are late." It's all he was saying. Then that went to like, "Well, then I guess you just want McDonald comics." And it's like, bruh, all the comics that you've ever experienced in your life came out on time. So like, come on, let's not do that like thing where we're pretending late books are going to somehow impact like how you're doing anything in culture. Because the reason why things haven't been impacted is because, well, books are late, then no one cares. I'm sorry. People don't believe this stuff, man. And I got to always point this out. If you're late on some stuff, people in their minds forget about things so quickly. They have so many other things going on. Your book is probably the last thing on their mind. And people don't like hearing that, but that's just what it is. I'll forget about it until it maybe ships to me or it comes out. You know, it's unless I really like the book. You know, Dean Cain, All Americans, when I've been hyped on for a while. So I was obviously wondering when that was going to come out. It's going to be shipping very soon.
I love that series. But I hold them. Mm-hmm. I hold Iconic. And I know this might be controversial to any Comicscape people, but I hold Iconic as like, they're like my gold standard. I look at, there's several people that I look up to and I see them as like, I'm trying to reach their level. Like I want to get to the level of like, Ravensloft, of Tyler Carpenter, of Tonic Mole. Like in my dream of all dreams, I would love to someday be able to do what Iconic does, where they have, like 2 to 3, sometimes 4 releases a year, and each one is a huge success, and it's long enough that you get, it's like 64 pages, I think, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So you got a bigger book. It's not just like a floppy. You get a bigger book, a lot of content, and then you know that later on in the year, you're going to have another one. You know that it's going to come, and you're going to have some sort of side story like Black Hops or Soul Finder or something in between. Like that seems like the perfect model because they're consistent, because they have bigger books. So it's not just like a floppy and then you're waiting 6 months for another floppy, right? You're getting like 64 plus pages. Then in another quarter, 2 more quarters, you have another, you know, 64 pages. Last year, towards the end of the year, we had Common America 8. Next month, we've got Common America 9 coming. That's what I'm talking about. Like reliably, they come
there
out.
There we go. Yeah, and I actually recently bought some of those
rock
too.
Solid. In that too,
I bought the omnibus bundle for Common America. So if anyone ever has those books, when I read them, I'll definitely want to review them because that one of them girls got a big old fat sack of titties. Just saying.
Here's the thing that's so amazing about Common America, like it is loaded with like the sexiest cheesecake in the world, right? But like the book is about like morals and like there's like all the girls are good wholesome girls and like. Like one of them's even like a Christian and she talks to a priest and stuff. And it's like there's real moral stories in each of their stories about family and about sacrifice and about standing up and telling the truth, even when it's inconvenient, you know, and it hurts you. Like things like that is woven into these fine ass bitches with these huge tits and perfect asses. Right. It's ridiculous. But like you come for the cheesecake and you stay for the story and for the wholesomeness. It's such a perfect combination. And like I said, the writing is so good. Like the ending of 8, I was like, oh my God. You know, it was so good. So good. So.
Iconic Comics would definitely be a gold standard for like if you want to be an indie comic book creator and have like a business side of it. You go, because I also understand, I think a lot of people were also saying that like the air quote of like 99% of creators and all that business stuff. I'll be honest here, a lot of people actually don't know about business, you know, because, you know, I think in the debate that was brought up, I'll be honest here, a lot of people don't know about the business side. They don't.
It's such a hard conversation to even have because like immediately, 99% is obviously like a, it's a number that, and I don't even mean this disrespectfully, it's just Eric pulled it out of his ass, because whenever you say 99% of anything, you obviously pulled it out of your ass, because you're just saying the vast majority, right? That's what it means when you say 99%. And again, it's weird because like Tim, again, in the comments, like he's like, he actually did some sort of math and he said, no, it is 99%. Eric is 100% right. It's 99% of every, and I was like, whatever. It's so strange because it's like, it was like no one talks like that precisely. Like Eric does not literally mean 99%. And a lot of it seems
if we're
like
being honest, it's probably 60-40. For being honest here.
I have no idea. 50, and that's 50. Why it's so hard. Like, that's why I wish Tim had showed his numbers, because if he had them, great. But like, excuse me. But the thing that makes it hard is like, it's so anecdotal, because a lot of people have had awful experiences in crowdfunding. I have had a good experience with crowdfunding. I've had every book that I have I've ordered, I've either gotten, I think there's one that I did not get because the writer and the artist like blew up and had a massive falling out. One person stole the money and just left. And that sucked, but like, what are you going to do? Everything else was fulfilled reasonably within my expectation. If it was late, it was a couple months late. But one of the big things that really matters, and they never, neither one of them talked about this, is communication. Because like Ben Dunn is another creator I really like. You never see him on any streams or anything. He just does books, but he did, Ninja High School. And what I really like is Tomorrow Girl. And he's done Tomorrow Girl books, and he's done the early years collections, and he's done new volumes and everything. But Tomorrow Girl is, I think is really cool. And he had, I think it was either volume one or early years volume one, like literally a truck with his shipment just crashed. So he lost the whole shipment. But when it happened, he told everybody, hey, I lost my whole shipment of books. It's going to be late. So am I mad? No. Perfectly reasonable explanation. But you have to communicate. The big problem with a lot of the campaigns isn't necessarily that they're late, I don't think. It's that when they're late, you're not finding out why they're late. Why is it late? Is it late because the truck exploded and you lost your shipment? Is it late because the writer stole the money? Is it late because you had a death in the family? Is it late because you are streaming constantly and you can't be bothered to fucking work? Which is it? Because what the reason is will change the sympathy of your backers. And it was strange that neither person brought up that point. But again, I was the moderator. I'm just, when I was listening, I was like, well, bring up communication, but like, I'm not going to tell them this is what you need to do. So.
Another thing to bring up with what you just said there is there's levels to what people will allow their minds to accept. Joe Sontag, his dad died.
Yeah.
And before they went to the hospital, he had some problems. It's understandable it'd be late.
Yes.
That's people will more than be understandable about that. Divorce. Absolutely. More than Absolutely. Understandable. But if none of those things are going on, someone's family doesn't have someone dying every single fucking day. That'd be ridiculous, right?
Yeah, of course.
And if the business aspect is like, hey, printer's taking a little bit too long, understandable. Just say what it is. You know, that's all people were asking for. And then just to get that level of backlash from creators is ridiculous. People weren't even saying, I don't think people are actually reading the books. They don't talk about the books ever. They never ask much. The whole what's your favorite part about ISOM? That's one of the detractor things that I agree with. You know, people are like, why would you agree with that? I think that's a very good thing to say. When someone talks about anything they love, people always ask, what's your favorite character? What's your favorite part? Those are very fine things. Now, I agree with what Eric's fans were saying as far as like the intention being asked there. That I understand. But the actual saying of like, what's your favorite part of ISOM is fine, because it would show, did you actually read the book? Because you would say, what's your favorite part? I don't think that's a bad thing.
In the Flashcast that famously started all this shit off, it was obvious that Flash did not read it, and it was obvious that Nina didn't read it, and that's where the meme came from. But it's not like it's not Eric's fault that Flash thought that ISOM could fly. That was Flash being a retard. No offense, Flash, but like if you read the book and you thought he could fly, you're fucking stupid. So you either didn't read the book or you're stupid. I choose to believe that you're not stupid and you didn't read the book.
You would know that in the first two pages if you could.
Yeah, exactly. So like, but and my point being, it's still not Eric's fault, Flash, you know. So it's weird to like, it's weird to throw it at Eric or Eric's fans, you know, because if they've read the book, they would be able to, like, I have not liked Ice on 1 and 2 yet. I'm excited to see how 3 wraps up. But I can still tell you my favorite part of 1 and 2.
I can,
like,
too.
If someone asked me a question, because I've read the book. So, like, I can tell you my favorite part. So if someone's read it, it's not really that big of a deal.
Dude, remember how that person got on me and they were like, you read this, you're defending Eric and you read this now. I'm like, I said I wasn't defending anything in the story. I made sure that was apparent. I said, I've not read this yet. I will get to it. I'm very busy. When I get to them, I'll read them and I'll review them and you'll know what I like and disliked. You know, people took it as like, you were criticizing the 3D assets. I was, because I'm sorry, I don't take what random people say on Twitter at face value. Like, what level of absolute stupidity? A rational thinking person goes, I'm not going to trust what XX Pussy Destroyer tweets about a random person they don't like.
You don't trust person who says pussy in bio? What?
Fuck me, right? You know? No, I don't trust.
That's another thing that's so strange. Like, I get, like, because people, they take it to such, like, extremes, right? They want to go, like, really hardcore extreme. Like, there's not, it's not like 0 to like 40, 0 to 30, 0 to 20 in the school zone. It's none of that. It's like, no. Slam that sumbitch down to 120. We're going right to 120. So, like, are there, like, did they use 3D assets? Yes. Some people will be bothered by that and some people won't. Who cares? Like, if the fans are unhappy, they will let Eric and his team know. But it's like we were saying the other night at the end of the stream, like, different people have different preferences. For me, like I said the other night, I want my characters drawn every time. I don't care as much about buildings, you know, like, but my characters I want drawn every time for certain reasons. But like, it's gonna, you know, it matters more or less to different people. And it's like people having different preferences with the book. I personally liked the art more in Alpha Corps. I thought that Joe Bennett did a really good job and the vast majority of that. The action scenes he drew were phenomenal. I think that he's not as strong with like the narrative panels and the narrative pages, but the action pages, that guy nailed it. Like the bank scene, the way he drew the fire dude was fucking sweet. Yeah, he looked amazing. That flash
page where Brian's flying at the fire hillbilly. Great. That's my favorite panel.
That page is gorgeous.
It's crazy how Eric only highlights when Brian's pulling up the one dude who's shooting
at him. Yeah, he always uses that. Show the fire hillbilly, bro.
Yeah, that was... But, you know,
that's so much cooler looking. I guess maybe he doesn't, maybe, but I mean, you can't say it's a spoiler issue because, like, it's in the trailer, right? So, I mean, come on,
yeah,
show the fire hillbilly panel, show that panel off, man, show that page off. That's sweet. So, yeah, so people go to like extremes, and like my other point, like the way that people go to extremes, I'm not gonna pretend that I am completely comfortable with what some people's tastes in pornography or anything like that are. I'm not going to say that, like, oh, that seems normal and healthy, but like both sides have said horrible things about people on the other side when some stuff has come up. And it's like, when I see that, I think you're both just being awful to each other. And I don't think it's productive for either one. Like, I do want to say this too. Personally, I'm very bothered by people who put on this air of Christianity when it's being used as a sword, when you don't actually give a shit about Christ or Christianity, but you use it to beat other people with like a cudgel and say that, how dare you take this blasphemous approach to something when you really are only using it to attack somebody you don't actually care. That bothers me.
Thing that throws me off is if half of these people basically got to work on whatever they want in their own life, whether it be comics, anything, they'd be a little bit more successful, because all these guys are talking about some bullshit and it's like all this stuff is like layered out dumb semantics. It's like, literally, Eric May makes a post. He can make a post of like, hey, I took my wife out to dinner. Oh my God, you took your 8-hour stream out and taking out his wife. It's like, that's ridiculous.
No.
If anyone thinks otherwise, you are a crackhead. Just saying. Anything that a lot of these guys put out, fucking hell. He could put out a tweet that says, I have just cured cancer. Oh my God, well, your comic books are drawn pretty bad. What?
Yeah.
Well, what? Yeah, that's the problem that I know you've highlighted right there, which is, if you obsess this much over someone, you need to seriously look in the mirror and go, am I not fucking crazy? Am I mentally
I know. And the thing is, it kills me. Like, I thought we were, like, when I say we, I mean, like, collectively, like, people who are, like, indie stuff. But, like, I thought that we were past this because, like I've mentioned it in various streams over the years. I love Star Trek. Like, I romantically love Star Trek. Like, I love Star Trek. But I fucking hate New Trek so much. Like, everything from J.J. Abrams' movies forward, I want to throw it in a fucking fire. I hate that crap. So I only like real, I consider everything before that real Star Trek and everything before that, after that, shit. I had to stop caring about Star Trek when I realized in 2009 that CBS really didn't give a shit what I thought about Star Trek. They were going to keep making movies that were making money. So I have been tuned out of stuff that I didn't care about for a very long time. And I thought that people were kind of moving that direction. And then I see, like, now, no, they just switched. So instead of being, like, really angry and anal and yelling all the time about Marvel and DC, now they're being angry and yelling about
each other.
Okay, I got it. All right.
That's supposed to show you that people didn't really like each other. It was that the common enemy was this guy, and we all kind of aligned against this. That's what it was. The other thing I'll bring up with the 3D asset thing is it's now turned into the fact that no one can show tangible, but I mean proof, guys. When you let's say you go to court, okay? You go to court, judge asks you, present evidence that this person did this. If you say, and I'm trying to keep it together, if you say a person on Twitter told you that, they're gonna be like, God damn, you are fucking retarded. Well, don't actually say that, but they'll say, this is not admissible in court. Just saying, if you say to someone that in court, they are throwing that out, okay? So, and then, but then it's now come to a point, dude, where people are like, well, you know, he should have just told us they were used and it would be okay with it, which is not true. Like, anything these guys say to you, nothing will be okay. You're not going to be okay with this.
Yeah,
let's not play that thing.
So the problem you run into is that nothing is good enough for either side. So
you can
say this logically makes sense that this is this way.
Yeah.
But that won't be good enough for the other side. The other side will say, you cannot prove to me that this happened. And since I will not, since you cannot provide real evidence, nothing you say is good enough. So they both end up screaming at each other. Nothing is actually resolved. Actually, it would be better if it was in court, because then you'd have discovery and then no one would be able to say shit, because then the discovery would produce the documents where it would actually be evidence. No one can say anything about anything without actually seeing
proof. Yeah, because that's the
but
thing,
like, you'll never get proof, because for the same reason, like why would Marvel go on their official Twitter and say, here are the pencils for Ultimate Spider-Man number 2? They wouldn't do that because they're trying to sell you on Ultimate Spider-Man number 2. Here's the final product.
Nobody does that for them. They don't. That's all I'm bringing up is, if we're going to use this as lines of logic that we claim that we hold dear to our hearts about comic books, let's also be honest here. These guys don't care about comic books this way because they did. Hell, the comic book sales wouldn't be the toilet that they are. If we're going to hold Eric to those kind of standards, why aren't we doing this for everybody else? That's all I'm bringing up is, if we're going to have this layer of consistency, let's apply to everybody. So then you get these people that'll be like, well, if you had just said they were being used, I'd be okay with it. No, you wouldn't have been. Shut the fuck up. No, you wouldn't have been. Third, and if people, like you said earlier on the show, if the fans are okay with it and they just didn't notice or care, then that's not an issue. I'll be honest here. I didn't care. I knew, maybe they were 3DS. Maybe he did. I don't give a fuck, honestly. I read it and it didn't bother me. People take little things and make, like, what's the saying? Mountains out of molehills.
It's hyper fixating on stuff.
Yeah. If the fans they didn't notice or give a shit, who cares, honestly? Who really cares? And someone said, but it's harmful to artists. I love how people say it's harmful to artists without being artists themselves. I love how people can give in-depth, detailed analysis on art without being artists. That's fucking retarded. I want people to understand that, how stupid that is. And but someone's like, but this guy on Twitter pointed out to me, doesn't matter. It's also a random. What are we doing here? What? Yeah.
Well, to give you an example, like of where you're going to have fans who will have different opinions about it. I read Ultimate Spider-Man, like the first Ultimate Spider-Man, like where Peter Parker, where they restarted it, and Peter Parker was like 16 again in the Ultimate Universe. It was the pre-Miles Morales version that they did leading up to the Ultimatum arc. So I was reading that when I was much, much, much younger.
Yeah,
and they used 3D assets for the environments and for the buildings and everything. So they would scale the environments to whatever size was appropriate, and then they would draw in the characters. And I remember the art very vividly. I remember having no problem with it, but I was reading it as like not. I was either a teen or early 20s or something like that. So when I was actually reading it, I didn't have an issue with it. But like Sam is younger than me, and he has a great eye for art and everything. He's much more of a comic book guy than I am, and he's got a really good eye for art. He read them much later in his life than I did, and he noticed a lot of stuff like that I didn't notice. So you're going to have people who have different different levels of experience, different preferences and tastes based on how many comics they've read. I think a point that Eric made with the first ISOM campaign that was a very good point is that there were probably several hundred, maybe even several thousand people who were buying comics for the first time. So they're probably not going to have a big deal with anything that's done in the comic because they don't have a point of reference. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just like objectively, they probably don't have like a comparison. And if they see it and they like it, that's all that really matters. Like when I was reading Ultimate Spider-Man as a teen, you know, I was like, oh, sweet, it's Spider-Man, but he's like a web designer. Ha ha, that's funny. You know, so like I thought it was great. Someone who's reading ISOM, if it's their first comic, they've never seen like a 3D asset or what isn't a 3D asset or whatever. And they're like, hey, this art looks great. Like I was. And that's fine. There's no reason to
have use the manga example of like, well, manga artists under crunch time use 3D assets to help themselves. Okay, so people, if that is something that is true, because people have also provided no examples to show me that that's true either. If that is, let's just say it is, then what's the problem with this doing it then? Because you clearly, if you care that much, then you'd raise it up with the manga people. That's what I'm saying. It's fake. It's fake caring.
It feels almost like, I mean, tell me what you think, but it feels almost elitist to me. Like it feels, because like the thing with like the mangakas, I think is what they call the people who make them. The issue with mangakas is that a lot of them that are using this, it is like really like it is labor intensive, and it's like every single day, like it's discipline every single day, get up and draw every single day, draw this. And you have to have a chapter ready. Like some people do a chapter a day, some people do a chapter a week or whatever. And so they're drawing constantly, right? So if you're doing that every single day, yeah, you're going to use 3D assets because you got to get shit done. And if you have to spend, like if this panel is like the epic showdown between protagonist, the antagonist, and you have to spend all of your time drawing their attacks, drawing the way they look, drawing all this stuff, you don't have time to, you know, line up the background buildings. Just get 3D assets, get the buildings back up there, and put the detail in for the characters. I completely sympathize with that. And that's why, like, if you're doing that every single day, that makes sense that you would have to do that as a mangaka. But, you know, but it's also, honestly, you tied the points together perfectly bringing that up, because like the people who are reading the mangakas don't give a shit. Just like when I was reading Ultimate Spider-Man as a teenager, I didn't care. I just wanted to read about Ultimate Spider-Man. So I didn't care. And the people reading mangakas, they clearly don't care, because manga is kicking the shit out of comic books right now. Right. Mm-hmm. So like clearly a lot of people don't have an issue with that.
If someone cares about that much, then why isn't it a consistent thing across the board thing? You care that much, other people should be getting that level of backlash.
Yeah.
But they don't, because they don't care. It's fake. It's like comic books. You know, people have said things like, you know, things along the lines of like, this person doesn't care about comics and this person's never come. When I look at that person's, they don't either. The person doesn't talk about anything. You go to their Twitter, YouTube channels, no comic coverage. I have to be always that guy, man. I always have to be. It's like, they don't care about comics. You don't like them. You just care about the drama surrounding comics and actually reading them. That's what they care about. If people just said, Here's just a disadvantage that I'd be cool with it, but I can't stand all this fakeness, dude. It's really beyond cringe, actually.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They don't talk about mainstream stuff. They don't talk about any of that. DC just had a recent allegation of AI being used in the recent Batman comic. Any of those guys brought that up? No, they didn't, because it's not here. They don't know and they don't care, because it's only going to be subjected to this one guy they don't like.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, if you don't care about what they do, it, why do you care about if this guy does it? It's like,
yeah. The thing that really really perplexes me is I there are things that I think I wouldn't have done that. And there are things that I think that was really good. I think that one of the things that Eric has done exceptionally well is creating like genuine interest amongst fans. So where like fans enjoy talking about it with each other. Because like that's what's really missing for indie comics. And it's hard, except for Common America. Common America, everyone in Common America's fandom likes talking about Common America, and they like theory crafting about what's going to happen in the next Common America. Just the way that
I like it.
What I'm telling you, man, that's right. That's right. You gotta get the measurements in there. So that's what I'm, but see, that's what's hard to do in indie comics, because like, I have a friend and I loved his book, and but it was like 24 pages, something like that. And I read the book and I was like, dude, this is awesome. I can't wait for issue two. When is issue two? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, that's killing me. And that's what makes it hard to really get into indie comics with other people and talk about it, because you don't know, like, even people who want to produce frequently, there are so many obstacles that get in the way of that, where it's like, you have to write the thing, you have to draw the thing, you have to pay the artist, for a lot of people, because they're writers. Yeah, so you have to get the funds to pay the artist. Yeah. And it's really hard to do that in a timely manner. It's really hard to do that in a timely manner. So if you have a 20 something page book, you're going to leave people with like a taste, and they're going to be like, man, I really want more. And then to the point that you made earlier, if they don't get issue two until like a year later, they're not going to have that interest. They're not going to be intrigued. They're not going to want to find out what the story is, because they've already divested themselves from the story because they didn't get anything for a year.
And that's the thing that a lot of people function off of, more or less, if you're in the real world, for people that touch grass. Most people don't really care about the creative process. I know it's going to be controversial to say, but it's a thing.
If you're a reader, you don't. You're 100% right. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Yep. All people care about is what is on the screen, or for a comic book. All people care about is what's on the pages.
Absolutely. You know? Yep.
So the reason why I bring that up specifically is, you know, you have people that'll be like, I want the creative process of this guy's thing or this guy's thing. And it's like, dude, average people won't give a fuck about that. Average people just want to see a book in their hands and read it.
Yeah. Now,
if you're not giving them that in a timely manner,
yeah,
they're going to forget about you. It's just what happens. You know,
you've talked to Animan, right? Have you talked to Animan?
I don't think so. I probably should eventually.
You definitely should. He's a really cool guy. But Animan has, he has it, I think, too. He might have another one. I think he said he's going to start one for Bloodruth, because he's not like a big ISOM fan. He's a big Bloodruth fan. But he has his main channel, which has been, he's been successful. He's got a couple thousand subs, but he started up a secondary channel, which is just dedicated to being a fan of Starfire and Storm. And it's the Storm Corey HQ is the name of his channel. And his channel has grown, so fast, and it's gotten monetized because people want to talk about these characters that they love. So like the problem that we face in indie comics is getting people who have that level of enthusiasm for our characters. And you can't do that releasing a book a year, a book every 2 years. It's really hard to. So in turn, we see people turn to drama because they don't have a book to read, or because the book, they already read it and now they're waiting for the second one, and it's been a year, 2 years.
It's also a big thing too that probably should bring up as one of the few last things before we head out.
Yeah.
Which is, what if people got the books and didn't like them,
but
are scared to say they didn't like them out of fear of hurting that creator's feelings, and they won't like them? Because Ethan said something in his first initial blow up stream with Eric, where he talked about, like, you know, fans need to get the books back and read the books. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
The thing with that is, fans aren't reading the books, though. I don't think they are. At least at enough of a big rate to give the conversation that promotion, because enough fans talking about it, word of mouth will sell. Like, Reenie's sells pretty well. people mm-hmm. talk about Rini stuff. She's an example of what I could think.
She's a great example.
These,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these are Common America is another one, right? A yep. lot of the, it could be it's one of two things. Either the fans got the books eventually, read them, and just thought they were just complete trash, yeah. or they actually just didn't read them at all. I yeah. think a lot of people just haven't read them at all. Because
yeah.
people shouldn't be getting this offended if you just ask them what's their favorite part. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's literally ridiculous, honestly. Just be honest. You didn't think – I think this is what it is. People think their favorite creator is not as good as another creator because they have a direct connection to them.
Yeah.
So they feel like this person's not going to be good enough in their eyes, which is fair. So they don't read the book. So instead of reading it and giving their opinion on it, they'll just yeah. be like, hey, I won't – you know, he won't notice actually. Because I know people have to understand what you said there. Only way these books get more backers, in my opinion, and more people talking about them, is word of mouth. People need to read them and critique them. If you don't like it or like it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just having it out there as your opinion will influence maybe someone buying.
If you're a fan of it, you need to be a fan of it. You need to be yeah. a vocal, outspoken fan of it. Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Right.
Get out there and find other fans and enjoy talking about the book with your with like-minded fans. That's all you got to do.
And last thing I'll ask you, man, is you got any big plans for your channel coming up, actually?
I'm working on a video talking about there was a weird conversation that came up recently about free speech. You know Dave Brink, right, from Genuine Comics?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dave is awesome. I love Dave. Mm-hmm. He's got a great channel. He's got a great comic. But he was talking about, like, wanting to like try to focus less on mainstream stuff and talk about other, you know, independent comics. That's a sentiment that I agree with because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, mainstream, I think that a lot of people like us, they mm-hmm. just don't like us. And I want to build, you know, big up people like Dave and like, you know, hopefully me in a couple months mm-hmm. to get people looking at my stuff. So he was talking about how, you know, hey, can we just focus on this? Somebody took exception to that and said, are you trying to like, or what's your agenda? Why don't you want us talking about why stuff is bad? And I don't think that, I don't think Dave has an agenda. I think that he just wants to like, cause we can't take it back. Like if we're being honest, like I love Star Trek. I can't take Star Trek back. Like it's gone.
Like a wifey divorce. I can't look at her.
Yeah. It's not happening. She's with another man. They got kids in the house. It's not happening. Right.
She's so with like Tyrone now.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's time to move on. So that's the case with like Disney. That's the case with Star Wars. That's the case with Star Trek. That's the case with all this shit. It's all dead. If you're hanging on and you love it, great. I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about indie stuff, right? And I think Dave was saying that same thing. So I'm working on a video about that. I don't want it to be like I'm not attacking anybody. I don't ever want anyone to feel like attacked, but I do think that sometimes people, they leap to the wrong conclusion about someone when they ask a question. They think that they have an agenda when they necessarily don't.
Yeah, that's really odd that someone would ask, like, what's your agenda? And it's like, well, PopX Network is a very underrated channel where they highlight yeah. indie comics constantly. You know, because people always ask, is there a channel out there that highlights the indie comics in a more positive way that's out of the drama? Well, PopX Network does. I would hope to eventually talk to Mr. Scala, but he's very busy, obviously. Yeah. And it's one of those things where if you want that, just go and seek it out. The other issue is that what fans don't do, and I don't like always talking bad about them, I got to bring up with fans, is not enough of you guys talk about the products and review, or not review them, just give your general opinions.
Talk about them. No be fans. Enough.
That's the reason why the creator doesn't necessarily get more people. More eyes will be brought to the books if you give good word of mouth. And the other thing they brought up that I know were part of this indie group, I think, with someone. And, you know, you brought up what kind of reviews do you guys want to have? Because I've always functioned off that, too. I could like Eric or dislike Eric or whatever, but I will be honest with how I feel about his books. What I'm doing with Ethan, what I'm doing with anybody. I don't care if I know you. Whatever my opinion is about your work is different from how I know you as a person. And I think that's the thing you ask. It's a good, genuine question, too. It's like, hey, can I be honest? You know, because I know people are like, they like want things in a certain way, but then when it happens, they're very apprehensive about it. It's like, hey, I'm going to give out a review in my own personal way about what I dislike and like. If it comes off mean, I'm sorry, but I can't control that. You know, do you want honesty or do you want me to just basically do what the shill media does for every new movie that comes out where it's 9 out of 10? It's right. Like, what do we want here? Do we want to be different or not? Because I don't want to be playing these little kid games, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's for the channel. And then after that, we got, I'm hoping May, I'm going to say May, I'm going to cross my fingers. But if it's not, then no one's lost any money. My comic is going to be ready in May. And it's going to be free PDF. It's basically like it's like a campaign for my campaign. So I'm going to give out this comic to everybody who signs up for my mailing list so I can let them know when the campaign is live. So the comic has my writing. It's got my artist who's going to be doing the art for my 64 page book. It is a free 22 page comic book that introduces one of the primary antagonists and one of the secondary protagonists that you'll see in the stories. It's got a lot of action. The art is fantastic and it's going to be free. So I'm really excited to get it out there. I would love it, you know, if you review it when it comes out. It'll be a PDF, of course, so it won't be a physical book, but I'll be able to get you a copy really easy. So I'm going to get it out to as many people as I can and get on channels. And I think it'll be great because I can go on channels instead of asking for money. I'm going to be like, hey, here's a comic for free instead. You know, you don't have to pay anything. Check this out. And if you like it, I'd love it if you back the campaign when it goes live. So talking to my artist and hopefully being able to get everything worked out as far as the timeline, we're looking for being able to wrap everything up in April and early May and have it colored and be able to get it out to people. So I'm really excited about that. And every time, like I said, every time I get a new page, it's like Christmas. It's really exciting since I can't draw anything.
Yeah. Hey man, I can't wait till your stuff is in physical form. You know, whenever you get a chance to hold it, you know, and I told people, hey, I love comics and you will always see comic content coming on the channel. The reason why it hasn't been coming out consistently because I'm planning what I want out of it. You know,
yeah,
I'm gonna do a series called Comic Books I Bought where I can show people, hey, this is what I bought, this is the synopsis of the book, mainstream indie, keep it all together. This is a series I'm doing, the mail day, I'm pretty sure you may or may not have seen, where I open up the new comics that I got, do a comic book haul showing what I got, and the next one I'm gonna do is comic book breakdowns of books. Those are like long form content, but that'll happen eventually. And what other comics am I going to do? Or just general floppy reviews. I told people there might be ones where you see me like this doing it, or you might see ones where my camera's pointed down and I flip the pages. Yeah. Look, you know, I'll probably do the flip pages for like floppies, but if it's like reviews of indie books with people like this, I'll just keep the reviews like that. Have two styles of different reviews. Because I've seen people do it, I'm like, what style do people like? I got to do both. Because if I do one, then I feel like the other one I didn't do. Just got to do both. I have bad ADHD like that. But yeah, shout outs when we get to anyone in particular, man. Anything else you want to say before we head out?
I do want to genuinely once again thank both both Tim and B.A. Turner for coming on. It was really cool of them too. If you ever hear this, Tim, I do not actually have any hard feelings toward you. And like I said in the comments, you're welcome on my channel anytime. And I have no issue with you. Thank you to both guys for coming on. Thank you for the chat. If anyone who is in the chat sees this, I really appreciate you guys being so energized, and I was laughing the whole night, so I'm glad I wasn't on camera actually, because I was just giggling the whole time. It was just
goofy. And I said, Tim, hey, I think you did a great job, but I think you need to just brush up on, if you're going to be conveying certain things, just convey them in a much more simpler, more concise way, you know,
and show it and bring it.
You also
it
show it. Yeah, was evidence. Show it, because I remember some, I've shown campaigns on here from bigger creators that you guys would know. So who doesn't know? There's a guy, you know, Grant Morrison. Is he run on Justice League, Batman, Superman?
Yeah,
very prominent guy. Justice League, Batman, and Superman. That's about as big as you can get in the mainstream. He had a campaign he was working on with Donny Cates called Tomahawk, Unfulfilled.
Yeah.
Had like 23K in funding. So when he was mentioned that a lot of these other campaigns don't get fulfilled, I was like, Tim, show it to people. Because a lot of people this is kind of thing. It's out of sight, out of mind mentality. Just because I don't see it happen doesn't mean it might not be happening. And that's what a lot of Comicscape people fall into a trap of. Just because you don't see it happening does not mean it doesn't exist. Okay.
Right.
I don't know where that comes from. Just choose to educate yourself more. If you fulfill yourself in your thought time, I'm glad. I'm glad you do. I back Brett's book. I have it. I got to read it eventually. I'm not saying I won't, but it's on my list of piles of stuff.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
I like BH. I don't think Brett's a bad person. I like that he has those opinions because I can have a conversation with him about why he thinks that way. Why does he come to these conclusions? Because you know you don't want an echo chamber.
That's really all you want is if you disagree with him, he's the perfect person to disagree with because he'll just talk to you. And that's what you really want from someone that you have a disagreement with.
And I was like, Brett, you're from the corporate world. You do not know about Ethan's property. Like, Brett, stop it. Come on, man. I don't care.
That was a weird point.
Yeah, you know, because people brought up the Tim thing you said about showing the examples. Like, Brett, how do you know Ethan's profitable? You would literally not be able to know that under
it would any be, it would be impossible. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't both agree to that. For any of us. Because again, like unless we went to a courtroom and there was early discovery, it would be impossible for us to know what anyone's profit is on anything.
I was like, what is this nonsense I'm hearing? It's like, Ethan's very profitable. It's like, Brett, you would literally not be able to know that.
There's no way. There's no way.
Just because the campaign says it's this amount, that is just buffoonery.
you would have to say the campaign this made this much amount. These are my expenses. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, if you had a full breakdown like that, then you could say it was profitable or not. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm not trying to make profit with anything I'm going to be doing. What I just want to pay my artist. So my goal is going to be exactly what it costs to pay my artist and to pay for shipping. I don't want to make any money. I just want to tell a story. And Marcus is my wonderful, talented pair of hands to help me do that. And I just want to make sure that he and my letterer and my colorist get paid. So for me, there will be a level of transparency that's really high because I'm just going to say, this is how much it costs. Please get me here. And the rest is my genuine pleasure to tell the story. I don't want to make money with it because I have a day job and I'm good in my day job. I just want to do this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I tell people, hey, I don't need to make money off of this, but if I do, it's cool. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Because this would pay me pennies and I'd be outside eating out of trash cans and I would not like to do that. But thanks again for coming on again.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, sir.
Anytime, man. So see you guys later. Have a great night, everybody. Goodbye.